Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about how the acting teaching industry makes most of its profits by capitalizing on actors' dreams and insecurities by using confusion and intimidation. Yeah, that's a mouthful, and I will explain. I had a fellow audit my class last night, and he had sent me an email previous to the audit. He told me that he had been referred to a heavy hitter acting coach here in my area, and after sitting in the class, called his agent and ranted about how much he disliked the situation and what was going on. And then she apparently sent him a podcast of mine, and then he came last night. I didn't ask him who the teacher was, so I had a pretty good idea. And it doesn't really matter, because I know what he was ranting about without asking him, because, of course, I make it part of my business, certainly, as someone who is delivering a product, as to what everyone else is doing and what the state is of my particular business and what's going on. And so I'm very well aware of all these other people. I'm also aware because, of course, I get students all the time who come to me and tell me their stories about what it was that they were doing at the old place and then why they had some dissatisfaction and decide to leave and then find themselves with me. So I hear these stories, of course, and, I've heard these stories my whole life. I mean, obviously, if somebody's come to me, then chances are there's just a few reasons for it. They're either just starting out, they took a break from acting, now they're coming to me, or they were somewhere else, grew dissatisfied, heard about the way I do things, and came over. So I end up hearing a lot of these stories, and so I pay rapt attention to all of it. Clearly the point of this podcast would be to try to enlighten my listeners, actors that are looking for clarity or some sort of information that can add value to their lives, to their professional careers. I mean, this is why I do it. And so I want to continue to examine the state of acting, teaching, on the planet, because, of course, if you've listened to one other podcast, at some point you've probably heard me say that I think it's a shambles. I think that everybody is stuck in the past, or they're stuck in just some sort of malarkey. And I think that there's huge profit made. Most of the money made in this industry is made through confusion and intimidation. And that's what I'm going to hit on today. Confusion. What do I mean by that? Well, for some reason, there's nothing I can do about the teachers teaching. They're just going to be trying to make a living doing what they do. And if people want their product, they're going to roll in and take it. But you see, the problem I have with it is that there's a lot of manipulation going on. And whether the teachers mean to or not, whether it's malicious or it's innocent, what they end up doing is capitalizing on confusion, first of all. So what does that mean? Well, acting and the study of it, for some reason, has been, it's been accepted that somehow there is some sort of black magic mystery about the way we conjure from the inner depths of our insides the magic and elusive, artistry that bubbles to the surface and gives us Oscars or some other such nonsense bullshit. And by doing that, they're able to capitalize on confusion, right? And the way they're able to do it and why actors are so incredibly vulnerable is because, their dreams are at stake, right? And these are lofty dreams. Oh my goodness. They don't get much loftier. Really, unfortunately, I don't know, but in today's society, the idea of being able to play act and be in movies and be the heroes or the villains and the adulation and the dough and the everything, the fun. I mean, it beats working for a living, right? I mean, what an incredible thing to do. And I'm not saying everyone that wants to be an actor is caught up in all of this potential adulation and, you know, fans and worship. But, boy, it's a quick way to get rich fast, that's for sure, right? I mean, you could be poor, not even able to make your rent this week, and 2 weeks from now, you could have landed a lead in a television series, and bing, bang, next thing you know, you've got a 7-year contract. If things go the way they are, your problems are over. And if you do things right, maybe for the rest of your life. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, that seems like a nice train to hop on. I'll take some of that, certainly. Yeah, you know, a lot of industries, you don't have this. You don't have this kind of carrot. Zero to hero, man. Because we've all heard the stories, right? You're discovered in a soda shop on a stool, and suddenly it's everything. It's rags to riches, but at hyperspeed. It can be. I'm not saying it is. Certainly, I'm in the business. I know what the reality is. But it can be, you see, and that can be right there. That is a crazy carrot, man. That is like a golden, juicy carrot. It's crazy. Yeah, right? Okay, now imagine that's the carrot. That is what you dangle. And you see, if I can confuse you so that the road to getting there, the method that you use, the methodology that you are going to incorporate to get you there, if I can confuse you with it to where, you know, it doesn't necessarily make sense, but if I use a lot of really smart words and speak in ways that sounds like I know what I'm talking about, you see? Oh, man, I could make a lot of money off this, right? Yeah, and what do I mean by confusion? Well, you know, the fellow that came to me last night, as it turns out, he's not a young fellow. I know he's younger than me. But he's not a young fellow. And so I get the sense that he's lived long enough and he seems at first glance, I mean, I just met him for a few moments last night as he watched the class, but he seems like a smart chap. And so I'm not surprised that he would see through the bullshit of where he went and sat in. I would almost expect it based on the impression I got from this gentleman. But you see, where most of the money is made in the industry is in the young and impressionable, right? Now let's add another thing to that, and that's the intimidation factor. And what is intimidation? Oh, intimidation is, you know, all the people I've trained. Intimidation are the stars that I've done whatever I say I've done with. You know, I've trained the stars, I coached the stars, I did this, I did that. That's the intimidation factor, right? I intimidate you. So I confuse you, and if you start to question that confusion, if you start to say, okay, you know, I don't know if this really makes sense, suddenly you have this thing looming. And that is, the intimidation factor is, well, look who else has done this stuff that I say. And look where they are and look where you aren't. And so you're going to get with the program and just believe, or are you going to doubt the success of these people? The fundamental problem I have with this equation is that what I've noticed in my 37 years of teaching is that different people respond to different things. And what may work for one person doesn't work for another person. What sparks that creative impulse in someone doesn't necessarily spark the same creative impulse in another person. You know, when you become a known anything, a known coach, a known anything, people in that industry that want to gain knowledge and expertise, the serious ones, the most serious ones, right, coming up, will say, well, I want to go to the best. if you happen to be that particular salt lick at that time in history, at that moment, well, everyone's going to come to you. Why? Well, because you get known that way. And then you see, then you get known that way, and then what happens is everyone drifts over to you. Makes perfect sense, and well, they should. But the problem with the artist, with the actor, is you can't just go by that, because what some people respond to and make the lights go on in their head and illuminate the path and truly bring value to their work and who they are and what they're doing, you know, different people respond different ways. So for any actor out there, young actors out there, I would say again and again, do not be intimidated by any aspect of what is presented to you. I don't care how many people they say are getting jobs. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what the movie stars are. That's certainly going to draw you to that moment. But the worst thing you can do is constantly fight your gut or sit in a state of confusion all the time in these classes. And this is what my travels and my time in this business has shown me over and over again, because I hear countless stories of people that said, you know, I was there because I heard this, that, and the other, and then I sat here and it just didn't make any sense to me, and I fought my instincts because I felt like, well, I must be stupid. I don't get it. I mean, who am I to say this doesn't work? And pretend like this can't be because it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it's making sense to everyone else in the room. I must be the problem. I mean, look, there's learning curves. You may go into a situation and it's new, it's different. You're trying different things. You've paid for that privilege to be there. And certainly I would tell any student, having been a student, having been a teacher, that there is kind of a contract, and the contract is, I've come to you, I've given you my money, I'm going to take your class. Now, for me to absolutely give this the best run for the money, let me just do everything you're telling me as honestly, as wholeheartedly as I can. I will devote this time I have right now to you and your methodology, because after all, I've paid you to be my sensei for these 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever the arrangement is. And you have a couple of choices. You either do that, what I just said, or decide, you know what? This is bullshit. I can't get my money back, but I don't care. I'm going to cut my losses and leave. Well, those are your two choices. Let me tell you what you can't do. Fight it the whole time. I mean, what are you going to do? Change the teacher's mind? Anarchy? No, you're in a class. You do it. The problem I have isn't that you did it and that you sat it through. No, you got nothing but with respect for me. Either way, whether you leave or whether you stay. But it's the actors that keep going back and they're not improving. They're not getting it. It all makes no sense to them at all. And they keep pursuing it because their insecurities are being capitalized on in the class, because the teacher has made this student believe that they know everything, the student must know nothing, that, you know, I once taught so-and-so, or I did this, or I, you know, whatever, and so you need to listen to me, and I continue to make you fight your own instincts. And what's a little crazy about that is that, you know, these are the instincts you're going to have for the rest of your life, and you're an artist. And I mean, ultimately, you're going to want to capitalize on those very instincts you're telling to shut up. So while I think you might hold your instincts at bay from time to time in order to make sure that you're not just being biased or being arrogant with your, you know, knowledge up to this point, I think that when you're there, you do everything. That way, you can make an honest appraisal, you see. If you're fighting it the entire time that your contract dictates that you're there, if you're there for a month, as I said, then really, you know, you don't get to come away from that and say, that was bullshit, I got nothing out of it. Because unless you embrace it 100%, you see, you're not really giving it a chance. And then that, I think that's just silly with people that want to go train somewhere and learn something. Just give yourself over to it. Whatever they say, do that thing. Do it as honestly and as wholeheartedly as you can. And now you see, if after this time spent, this initial whatever you paid for is over, you can actually properly assess it. you can say no. I know for a fact I went in, I worked very hard, I did everything they said, and I think it's bullshit malarkey, and I'm walking away. I try and figure it out. You know, I look at these quotes from time to time, and I find that that acting coaches also do this thing of almost sounding smart, or they sound smart, or the phraseology they use, you know, it sounds correct enough to the point that most people don't question. If they start to, they'll just think, "Wow, I've got a lot to learn because I don't quite know what this chap is saying." But it sounds like it should make sense. And so here's a couple of quotes I found. And this is, you know, you should know, from one of the top dogs. One of the top dogs. And it's unimportant who it is because, you know, I don't mention names here. I don't like the methodology or the bullshitness in this industry, you see, because I don't think people should be taken advantage of by using their insecurities and their dreams to manipulate them. So I have a real problem with that, you see. And so I want to call this kind of thinking out and try and expose its nonsense. So one is here. Thinking has no place in acting. It is a matter of the heart. Now, you see, that would get you, right? That would get you because you'd say, well, yeah, it doesn't. Right, I like that, the heart thing. Yeah, the heart thing. It's all from the heart. Yeah, except that if I took your brain out of your head, I don't know if you'd do the scene as well. Right? Oh, okay, I know some of you people go, well, that's not what they mean, Jeff. They mean the heart part of your brain. The heart part of my brain? Okay, so what does that mean? My feelings? My feelings? But they just happen. I don't think. You think all the time, man. What are you talking about? But you see, the problem I have with here is it kind of preys on the kind of the kumbaya beautifulness of that. And so you go, yeah, man, I want to go to a place where I use my heart, man. I want to use my heart. And then you have actors sitting around all day, you know, trying to have their dialogue, you know, come from their heart, you know, like it's gotta like bubble up through their body, you know, like from their anus. It's gotta come just real organically out, you know, because we're waiting for that magic moment where heart things will suddenly pull it out of us and it'll be so beautiful and rose-like. You know, I think all day long. But, you know, I found that if I do that, I don't run into things and I don't put, you know, poison in my mouth and, you know, pick little things up off the ground and eat it and, yeah, you know, run my car into signs and stuff and know how to ask for things and know how to make my points with people. I mean, I get what this person's saying, but this is like one of those phrases. It's like, you know, we need to conquer our possibilities. You know, we think, yeah, that's what I want to do. Here's some more. Fully realized acting is a mystery. That does not mean that it is out of reach. It simply means that the process by which it is created is veiled in the mysterious, the miraculous, and the unknown. Well, that isn't a way to hoodwink a whole bunch of money out of you. I don't know what is, right? Because if I am never making sense, or if it's never working, or if you don't quite get it, I can tell you, well, it's mysterious, and it's unknown, and it's a mystery. It's just a mystery. How do I do this, sir? It's a mystery. It's a mystery, and it's mysterious, and if it happens, it's miraculous, particularly in this class, and it's unknown, particularly to me. And I haven't quite figured it out, so maybe what I should tell you is it's a mystery. And then if we hit on it, well, then we hit on an unknown, and now it's not mysterious for a moment, but trying to explain it is still a mystery. It's also stupid to me. I thank you for this podcast, actually. I mean, I know I bought the equipment, but I thank you for listening and all, because at least it allows me to vent my frustration with the stupidity that goes on. But it's not the actors, you see. It's not the actors, because what's happening is that, as I said, these actors are being intimidated with credentials, and then confused with this kind of nonsense, you see? And the really good nonsense, it's like it feels like it should make sense. Because look, that's really pretty. I mean, it really is pretty. I love that. Fully realized acting is a mystery. Oh yeah, yeah. I wanna be a person who trades in that. It's a mystery, man. Hey, Jeff, how do you do your stuff? It's a mystery. It's a mystery, buddy. You can't explain a mystery. And you shouldn't try. You know, but it's not out of reach, you see, because if I told you it was a mystery, then you know, well, it's a mystery, then what? And it's out of reach. It's not out of reach. We can reach it. Don't worry, we can reach it. It just simply means that the process by which it is created is veiled in the mysterious, the miraculous, and the unknown. Now, okay, I just get a sense that, honestly, in writing this quote, this chap used miraculous just to have a nice rhythm in the line. I mean, what are we, rising from the dead? You know, we can't stop these people. They're just trying to make a living, and some of them believe they're trying to make an honest living, and there's nothing wrong with that. But all I would ask the actor, you see, and I'm not condemning this to the point that I say, you know, flee, because you will have paid money. You're having an experience. You've said, hey, I heard this, I read that, I heard that these 16 people trained with this guy or this lady, I want to come in here and I want to try it. All I ask you to do is give it your all while you're there. Really focus. Try not to be biased. Be open. Or if it's too much and you don't like it and it's just really rubbing you the wrong way, leave. I mean, you know, just because you paid for an upper colonic doesn't mean that you actually have to go through with it once you get there. If you're put off by it, leave. But I would say embrace the colonic. Otherwise, what's the point? You paid for it. Have the experience. See how it goes. You know, maybe you'll feel happy, lighter, faster. Or, you know, when we hear things like the relationship between breath, body, sound, and text. You know, it just sounds kind of splendiferous, doesn't it? It sounds like, yeah, man, that's, I got to get that stuff going. I got to hook my breath to my body, to my sound, and my text. Whew, that makes so much sense, those words in a row like that. And text, I like that. Because then the text is all connected. What the fuck, what is this? What does that even mean? This is a quote. This is like, you know, this is one of the things, the beliefs of this particular coach. The actor is assisted in recognizing and altering compensations, tensions, or habits which may be getting in the way of holding them back from full response and easeful presence. Now, you see, when you hear that stuff, that is intimidating. Because most people will listen to those words and, you know, being new to acting, they'll think, yeah, that I gotta take this class so I can figure out what that even means, man. I am so behind. How can I possibly be an actor if I don't understand what that means? Well, listen, man. You know, I know a few people who think I'm not stupid. And I can tell you I have no idea what this means. I have no idea what that means. I've never heard this terminology. I mean, I know what some of these English words mean, but, you know, recognizing and altering compensations, you know, there you go. It's like this slightly twisted gobbledygook where it kind of almost makes sense. And the ones that are really good at it almost make sense so that you're pulled into it and that you think, wow, you know, gosh, that almost makes sense. And you feel like, I just pay a few dollars and I'll figure this out. And then I'll really be able to act like those movie star people and make dough and finally, you know, pay my rent. Here's another one. Heightened text and acting in extension. So you see, again, I read heightened text and I think, yeah, I get that heightened text, you know, like a heightened reality. Okay, that's kind of making sense. And then acting in extension. Man, I just, you know, this stuff, it just bogs my mind down. I don't get it. I read it and I can see how it kind of pulls people into this like fog where things are almost, you can almost focus, you can almost see objects, but it's foggy. And I think like, okay, I gotta spend some money and pay attention. particularly when they dangle, of course, the whole, you know, carrot of that incredible career, and then intimidate me with the people that have supposedly worked or gotten jobs or, you know, whatever. I used to be roommates with blah, blah, blah. This class is about transcendence, of venturing into the unknown, the realm of all possibilities, exploring the truism that the egoic mind and art cannot exist on the same plane, and being able to capture the resulting manifestations on camera. What does any of that mean? So you say, as I read it to you, perhaps here out of context, you see, listening to the podcast, you think, yeah, it doesn't even make any sense. What? How? Well, you know, these people are very successful. And I didn't, you know, this I pulled off websites. Their websites. So this is what they are promoting. So imagine, people read this and then think, yeah, I got to get me some of that. You know what I think? I think that if they didn't have the big club of intimidation with regard to the people on their websites they supposedly taught or whatever. I keep saying supposedly because anything you hear ain't necessarily so in this industry. You know, stuff that people put on resumes isn't so. They say they train someone, then you find out that that person actually went to the college that the person was at teaching in the department at the time. But you see, the way they tell it, it seems like, no, I grew that person, you know. Once one person can lie, then everyone, we've got to think, well, it might not necessarily be so. And then beyond that, who's to know what the actor's impression of that particular coach was in actuality? You know, they might have loved the coach. They might have gone off and said, that was the biggest bunch of bullshit, but the studio paid for it. I had to sit through it. I did. I'm glad I'm out. You know, we don't know what people are saying. And listen, I prefaced it by saying maybe they said they absolutely loved the person, so I'm not trying to be mean here. But what I'm trying to get back to again and again is, folks, go with your instincts. Stop falling into stuff just because, you know, that's where the path has been beaten through, you know, the tall grass. Just don't go because other people did. You're an artist. You're trying to find your own way, and yours is your own way. This is a very individual thing. Your, you know, mental makeup, who you are, the person you are, all of your experiences, what you respond to is particular to you, and I think particularly where art is concerned. That makes sense? So what have I said? If you sign up for something, even if it's this malarkey bullshit, which I hope you never do, but if you do, embrace it while you're there. Absolutely, give it everything you've got. That way, if after that moment that your money has run out for that session, you can walk away and say, you know what, I gave it everything. I don't feel any smarter. I don't feel any more confident. I don't feel any more adept, or my work doesn't feel that much better, whatever. This isn't for me. Let me move on to the next thing. Or if it feels like an upper colonic and you suddenly don't want to go through with it, get off the table and say no thanks. That's it. That's all. If you get something out of it, you feel like, man, you know, the doors are opening, the lights are going on, by all means, stay there. But do not allow intimidation to keep you in places. Now, I'm stressing this because, of course, I have spent my career listening to people tell me their testimonials about how they put up with it. And I always ask the same question, of course. I say, well, why did you stay so long? Why were you there for 4 years? Why were you there for 3 years, 5 years? They say, I just started feeling like I just wanted to prove myself in the class. I felt like I wasn't getting it, and I don't want to be a quitter, so I thought I'll just stay there until, you know, I prove that I can use this particular methodology, and I can do the work. I don't want to be a quitter. I didn't want to be someone who just said, look, I quit, you know, and so, you know, I can't hack it because then that would mean I'm a failure, or, you know, I'm stupid and I don't get it. And, you know, well, but look what happened. All that happened was that you finally had enough, or you finally decided to listen to the voice and started speaking to you. You really, it was after the first day from the way the person explains it. There's just so many ways to manipulate a person when the carrot that's dangling is as enormous as being a successful actor in this industry. Being able to do this for your life, whether you know you're caught up in the trappings, or it's just about getting a steady paycheck from being able to be a thespian, that is a huge carrot. And if you're young and you don't know better, and then you see these faces on the wall and you hear the folklore about what this particular teacher did, of course you're going to blame yourself, but you're the artist. And your instincts are going to be the thing that you're going to have to rely on for the rest of your life. Don't start the thing off by, you know, telling them to shut up. They're the thing you're going to need to trust throughout your entire experience in this industry. So you might as well start now. Now, notice that what I've said to you is, while you're in that place and you've paid your money, embrace it, be respectful, do everything that was told to you. Because you see, what I don't want to do is get actors to think like, well, that doesn't make sense, you know, and to be arrogant. And that doesn't do anything for anyone. Nobody puts a gun at your head and tells you to join a class. You join the class, you paid for it. Now, be an adult, do everything you're told, do it, you know, to the letter of what they're asking for as long as you're there. At the moment you decide you don't want to be there anymore, walk away. That's it. And then continue on your quest to find that particular Goldilocks place. There's nothing wrong with that. But do it. Don't waste your life getting more and more confused. And I tell you, I spend more time deprogramming people from all the nonsense they've been taught than I do with the person who comes in with a level head, is ready to go. I can always get great work much more quickly than the people who have to unlearn all the stuff that was drowned into their head. So if you care about your art, pay attention to your instincts. While you're at a place, give it your all or split, and don't fall for this nonsense. If you hear something and you can't just turn and explain one time, listen to it once, it shouldn't be a puzzle, hear it, explain it to someone else. If you can't do that readily, there's a problem. That's why in my book, you know, when I start to talk about my approach, I use the quote from Einstein, which is, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it yourself. Now, I guarantee you, all of these people whose quotes I've read, I guarantee you they could not explain their process as they teach it. Explain these quotes to a kid, a six-year-old. I think you'd have a problem explaining to me, and I'm like way past six. You know, I from time to time, certainly, in my career as a teacher, you get people who come in and what I do is so different, and what I'm asking them for is so different, or I want them to, you know, stop their fake lying or their fake whatever they're doing that for some reason was maybe heralded in another class, and I look at like, well, I'm sitting right here, I can tell you're lying, pal. So you can't do that. You can only show the audience. You can only show the audience what you would have the other characters see. And if I can see it from, you know, it's something as simple as that. Like, well, what can I tell you? I don't believe you. I don't really think that this is happening. And so I need to address that because that's what I do. And I'll get them to buck it because what they're bucking it with is their knowledge of modulated performancing or how they feel that there needs to be a build or an arc or whatever other bullshit they'll tell me that is based in this whole acting notion that is never going to be authentic looking because, you know, it's recognizable immediately as false. When it's something as simple as that and I'm getting bucked by it, I think to myself, well, why are you here? Well, you came here to argue with me about acting? You came here to enlighten me as to how I should teach my class? No, right? So what's happening here, really? Well, usually this stuff is fueled by an insecurity, but it doesn't matter where it's coming from. It's just wrong. Why? Well, this isn't a YMCA, man. We're not just here, you know, trading ideas about acting. You are paying me to train you. So now, you know, drop your fists and let's have some training. You cannot take the class, you can leave. Or you can stay here for the allotted time you've paid for, give it your all, and then make a decision. But everything else is disrespectful. So as much as I would like to, you know, end the reign of these charlatans that I feel are doing nothing other than, you know, confusing actors and keeping them hostage in this muck and mire of antiquated nonsensory. You said you wanted to pay them for the product. So be respectful while you're there and do everything you can to comprehend it. And then if it doesn't make sense and you don't improve, leave. But leave immediately and go somewhere else and go until you arrive at a place where your work improves dramatically, like instantly. And when people say, well, how can it, you know, be instant? I'll tell you. It's not like you're coming to my gym and, you know, you could bench press 80 pounds and I say, oh, by the end of the first day, you will be bench pressing 400. Well, of course, that's insane. That could never happen. Unless you're used to benching 400 pounds and you've just kind of been going through a self-doubt time or, you know, some weights dropped on you and you're fearful of lifting weight again or something else. Why do I put it that way? Well, because then I might have the magic to be able to get you through that mental block and go back to what you were doing before. Well, that's what acting is. You know, I had a kid the other night, you know, I said, raise your voice. He said, well, I don't really talk that loud in real life. I said, you don't. I said, okay, well, first of all, you were talking kind of loud when I met you, but you're telling me you never do? Have you ever yelled at anyone? Well, yeah. You ever had to call for your dog? Yeah. Okay, so you know how to raise your voice and yell, right? Yeah, okay, well, just do that now. You see? The idea is, whatever you do in real life, there's nothing that says, I can't get you to do that in a moment. Why? Well, all I'm doing is, my task is just to trick you into doing what you've already done, and you do a lot, but just right now. I don't think that's impossible. I've built a career on being able to do that, so I don't think that's a hat trick. Many, many, many other things are, but for me to get instant response out of you, instant improvement out of you, even if I trick you into it on a particular night to show you how quickly we can get from here to there, I don't think that that's magic, man. I think that's just good teaching coaching. So again, I would tell you, don't believe coaches, classes, situations where, well, no, you know, listen, it takes a long time to be able to get to a point where you can, well, do what you do every day in real life, but like in here. Really? Why? Why? Because those things are true in life and these aren't necessarily so? Yeah, but, you know, things you don't expect suddenly happen all day long. You don't have to go home and think about it. You'd say, why? Well, I have no idea how to behave in a carjacking. Until you stopped at a light on your way home from class and a guy hopped in your car and carjacked you. I guarantee you would get it on the first take. Wouldn't we? It isn't a matter of trying to train you how to be in these situations and behave this way. It is simply a matter of getting you to be able to access those moments as honestly and as quickly as you would in real life, which you have been doing since you were born. At any rate, that's today's sermon. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please remember to follow us on Podomatic or subscribe on iTunes. If you want to know anything else about the Real Life Actor approach, you can always go to reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.